Well, earlier this week, Doris gave me a call, and she said, "Keith, what should I put in the bulletin for a sermon title?" And I thought the Great Deception would probably be an applicable title. I thought an alternate might be Keeping Your Pastor in the Dark. And I think we accomplished that at least somewhat. Several weeks ago, as many of you know, the elders asked Steve and Phyllis if they would give some leadership to something for Pastor Appreciation Month. And I was fortunate I looked on the slot for October 26th, and under sermon there was a question mark. So I contacted Rob and I said, "Would you be open to a volunteer bringing the sermon on October 26th? And he said, "Sure." So I said, "Put me down." And with that, I would like to invite Steve Swartz to come up. And Steve is going to have a word for us, and the pastors can fasten your seatbelt and prepare to see what you were deceived from.
Yeah, I love that sermon title that Keith came up with this morning. Very applicable to what we're doing this morning. We're hijacking the service from the normal sequence of things. I just thank God for Rob and for Keith and for Ryan and for Reuben here, that God has sent them to us as a congregation. When I do a lot of traveling in the Conservative Mennonite Conference, and I am just so happy to share that we have a pastoral team here at London Christian Fellowship made up of someone in their 30s and someone in their 40s and someone in their 50s. And they all just look at me with a lot of envy. I mean, that is really amazing that a congregation can have pastors who represent that age spectrum there. And also, I, whenever it's appropriate, just talk about their personalities, their gifts, what different emphases that they bring to our congregation. And again, just met with a lot of envy, is that possible, from other churches. But it's just with a deep appreciation that I want to commend the pastors here. And also, just a deep appreciation for this congregation. You have a long history of respecting and honoring your pastors, and I just want to affirm you in that and just encourage us. Let's continue that tradition of honoring our pastors. I'm going to be sharing a few verses that talk about the relationship of a church to their pastors. And so let's begin with 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 to 13. "Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you." Also, 1 Timothy 5, 17, "The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching." I think it's really important who directs the affairs of the congregation. And it's important that they be spiritually minded people, people who are grounded in the Word. And we have pastors here who are directing the work of this church here. I also noticed the words double honor. They're worthy of double honor, particularly those who are given the responsibility of teaching and preaching. It's a poor testimony if the pastor's needs are not met. And I believe this double honor includes probably reimburse them generously for their work. I think it's a poor testimony if the church doesn't meet their pastor's needs. God can meet their needs, of course, and that's what some people point out. Well, God should meet the needs of our pastors. But I think the church misses a blessing when they don't participate in meeting the needs, the financial needs of their pastors. And by the way, thank you so much for your generous giving to this project here. We'll be given some gifts later, but we raised a total of $1,200 here to be distributed among the pastors. And I thank you so much for your generous giving to this. 1 Corinthians 9:14. In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. Jesus gave indications of that also in his teaching. Luke 10:7-8 and Matthew 10:10. We don't have those verses to show up. I just want to allude to those. He said, the laborer is worthy of his hire. He said that twice. And then Paul, who was kind of acting in the role of a pastor in Philippians, chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you. Here's Paul sharing as a pastor. Since I have you in my heart, for whether I am in chains or defending and confirming gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And I think these verses reflect the pastor's heart. This is the way he feels about us. And knowing what drives a pastor should give rise to feelings of gratitude on the part of a congregation. James chapter 3, verse 1. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. I'm not sure if I understand exactly what this is referring to, but there are people looking at the pastor. There are people pastors. It's saying here, put themselves under greater judgment for us. Kind of play that important role of responsibility. And then we'll be judged on the basis of their how they've assumed that responsibility. 1 Peter 5, verses 1 to 3. So as your fellow elder and witness of Christ's sufferings, and as one who shares in the glory that will be revealed, I urge the elders among you, give a shepherd's care to God's flock among you, exercising oversight not merely as a duty, but willingly under God's direction, not for shameful profit, but eagerly, and do not lord it over those entrusted to you, but be examples to the flock. We've seen it necessary at times that the pastor in his role as a shepherd needs to go after a wayward sheep, lamb, within the congregation, spend extra time with that individual. How important that is, that shepherd's heart that goes after that lost sheep in the congregation or one who is outside the congregation. Some pastors just like to speak to the big crowds, and that's what they're about. But it's important that pastors also spend that one-on-one time with needs among them in the congregation. Jesus took time to chat with Nicodemus, with the woman at the well, and spend that one-on-one time with her and him. And obviously, money is not a motivation for going into pastoral ministry. I know very few pastors who are making all that much doing what they're doing and the hard work. How do we show appreciation to our pastors? Here are some ways that the scripture indicates that we should do that. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 4. Be devoted to prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, this is Paul saying, pray for us too, that God may open a door for the message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may make it known as I should. And these verses remind us that we are to pray for our pastors. It's one of the most effective ways that we can have to show our appreciation for them. Hebrews 13:18-19, pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to conduct ourselves rightly in every respect. So we pray in those lines for our pastors. I especially ask you to pray that I may be restored to you very soon. And then Hebrews 13:7. Remember your leaders who spoke God's message to you. Reflect on the outcome of their life and imitate their faith. Now, it is not easy to live in a glass bubble as our pastors and their families do. It's not easy to live in that kind of a bubble, but it's reality for them. It's going to happen, and the scripture indicates that it's going to happen, and that we then are to imitate as we examine the life of our pastor as he lives his life out. All three of our pastors live their lives out in front of us. We're to imitate their way of life. 3 John chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. For I rejoice greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, just as you are living according to the truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear that my children are living according to the truth. And as I know the hearts of our three pastors here, I just know that nothing makes them happier than to hear testimonies and to observe your life as you are walking faithfully with the Lord. That just gives them a thrill like nothing else does. Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls and will give an account for their work. Let them do this with joy and not with complaints, for this would be no advantage to you. Warren Wiersbe states it like this: when the servant of God is in the will of God, teaching the word of God, the people of God should submit and obey. One day, every pastor will give an account of his ministry to the Lord, and he wants to do it with joy. And finally, 1 Corinthians 9:14. In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. One of the practical ways that you can show appreciation for the pastor is to contribute and to pay them adequately in their role as pastor. We're also asking this morning for several individuals to share about one of the pastors. And so we've asked Larissa to share about Ryan and Chris, and for Sean to share about Rob, and then for Jack to share about Reuben. And so you can come forward in that order and share, and then after that, one of the elders will take it from there.
Well, when Steve asked me to talk about Ryan and Chris a couple of weeks ago, I was like, oh no, public speaking, not good. But I thought about it for a while, I was like, Ryan and Chris do need to be recognized for what they do and how they've influenced not only my life, but the lives of others. So, not very many people I know like to eat bugs. Except for Ryan and Chris, that is. And I'm sure if you ask them for details on that story, they will tell you. But that's only one of the many interesting stories about them. I have known Ryan for about as long as I can remember, and Chris for almost as long. And both of them have been and continue to be a big influence in my life. Ryan and Chris have served God in many ways by counseling at Coral Camp and pastoring here at LCF and leading our church youth group. I was only in primary school when they met as counselors at Coral Camp. Back then, I was Ryan's little tag-along, and I would get lots of piggyback rides, and I learned all of his silly songs, which some people may say that's good, and others might say that's bad. And they were among the first pioneer counselors of Coral Camp, and they helped kids to love music and follow God. Their role as counselors was important, as they set a good example for all of us impressionable little children to follow. This was only the beginning of their time serving God together. It doesn't seem like it was that long ago that Ryan became a pastor, but it has in fact been about 6 years, As a preteen, I always liked listening to Ryan's sermons. He almost always had a fun video, demonstration, or a jungle jam to catch my attention. I remember one time he made coffee as a sermon illustration, and another time he ate a live goldfish. And of course, the jungle jams are always entertaining, as are the stories of Ryan's mischievous childhood. Ryan does an excellent job of presenting a message that's applicable and interesting to people of all ages, especially kids. Our youth group is close-knit, and there hasn't ever been a time that hasn't been fun for me, and Ryan and Chris have played a big part in that. They always keep the discussions interesting and the games fun while challenging us to live our lives for God. On missions trips, they challenge us to step out of our comfort zone and reach out to people. They also have fun and creative ideas for us to practically reach out to those in our community. Working together, Ryan and Chris make a great team. Ryan keeps things lively and interesting, while Chris challenges us to affirm what we believe and why we believe it. Ryan and Chris always show that they care and are there to support us, and despite what we're going through at the time. Whenever I have a question or a problem, it's good to know that I can go to them for advice and guidance. They have been great role models for me, and I'm truly grateful for the role that they've played in my life and the lives of others. They're great leaders, and I'm proud to know them. Thank you, Ryan and Chris, for all that you do. I hope you know how much we appreciate you.
When I got the phone call initially about talking about Rod, I wanted to jump on as quick as I could. I didn't want nobody else to take that opportunity away from me. People don't know me. I went through some tough times over the past year, and this is the man that was right there by my side the whole time. Emotionally, physically, he did everything he could to make sure I was on the right track. And I hate trying to get shook up about this, but it's personal to me that somebody's able to take time out of his own life, his own family, and come to the hospital with me before surgery, first open heart surgery, and give me a prayer before I went into surgery. Later on, I had complications, had to go in for a second surgery, and I just called, left a message, told him what was going on, didn't expect anything, and when I woke up from my second emergency surgery, who was standing there? It was Rob. Not only here at church does he play a vital role with God, it's, out, in the, community. It's in our lives, with our families. He sets his life aside to make sure that we're being helped. When I first started coming here, I didn't know where we were going to end up, whether or not we were going to stay here or go somewhere else. We were just looking around, and somehow I connected with Rob. Rob connected with me, not only here at church, but, we do things on the outside. He's been able to help me in ways, my family in ways that people, I don't think everybody really knows. Our family's become a lot closer to one another. The prayer groups he has with us, the small groups he has with our family, these are things that he doesn't have to do, but he does. And he doesn't ask for much. He really doesn't ask for anything. He just wants the word to be taught. And he does a real good job. My life's been changed, and I think from here on out, the rest of my life, he's, regardless if I know him later down, if I move or we travel or do something different in our lives, go somewhere else, his life touched mine, and it'll never change. It'll always be there in my heart. I don't know what else to say. Just to me, he's been the most important factor in my life by showing me where to go, how to do it, how to conduct myself. And I greatly appreciate every moment that he's given to me and my family.
so we have ministers in their 30s and their 40s and their 50s. Guess which age group I represent? I represent the 50 and up group. And because I'm going to focus my discussion on Reuben and Vicki, doesn't mean that our family and each of us individually haven't been touched by all three of the ministers here at almost said at Shalom at London Christian Fellowship. Reuben and I are more or less contemporaries and grew up not only chronologically similar, but we were very similar in terms of geography. We got the Pittsburgh TV stations on our rabbit ears at home on our black and white TV. And so Reuben and I both ended up watching Chilly Billy Cardilly on Chiller Theater and The Castle Shannon with Lippy the Leprechaun and all of those Pittsburgh shows back in the early 60s. Then in the, I was going to say the late 50s, which would also apply, but I only remember the early 60s. In the 70s, we've taken hikes together, and in the 70s, we were running in similar circles, although we never ran into each other. I think, Reuben, weren't you involved a little bit in the Christian community in Mansfield, Ohio? And we knew a lot of the people, I think, who now basically started the Vineyard Church and that sort of thing. And neither of us were raised in the Mennonite Church. I was raised a Southern Baptist, and Reuben was raised a pagan, I think, right? And we share an inexplicable appreciation for the music of Bob Dylan. But we have as many differences as we have similarities. And I think that when I think of Reuben and Vicki, I think of people who not only have the gift of teaching, that's clear. Anybody who attends the Sunday morning Sunday school knows that there's a great gift of teaching. Reuben teaches us about the scripture, and Vicki teaches Reuben about spelling. And so they both have the gift of teaching for sure. But what they also have is they have a firm anchor in those things that make us Christian, that make our faith genuine, a genuine relationship with God. They have an anchor in the Trinity, the deity of Christ, the atonement of Christ on the cross for us, the resurrection of Christ, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Those are things that are basically the essentials of having a relationship with God, and they have a firm anchor in that. And because they have a firm anchor in that, they aren't afraid to explore those things where people can have different opinions and to think about those things. And when they encounter somebody with a different opinion or a different point of view, no matter what issue it relates to, unlike many of us who find it offensive, they find it intensely fascinating. And they relate to that person, and they draw that person into a discussion that benefits that person. So I want to thank both of you for being who you are, and for your gifts of teaching, your gifts of accepting people, your gifts of expanding our knowledge without ever making us feel like we aren't capable of understanding what it is you have to share.
Well, thank you, Larissa and Sean and Jack, for being willing to come up here and speak in public and be a blessing through your words to our pastors. And we'd like to continue the blessings at this point by covering them with prayer. So I'd like to ask each of the pastors and their spouses and family to, if you could come up and kind of spread across the front here. And as they do that, go ahead and come up. I invite those of you in the congregation who are willing to please step forward as well and surround them. We'd like to lay hands on them and So if some of you would come up, and I'd like to ask for several of you to just lead out in prayer, and then I will close. So as you feel led, feel free to say a word of prayer for them. Father, I thank you for calling pastors to lead your children. And this morning, I want to specifically thank you for Rob, for Ryan, and for Reuben, as you have called them to lead your flock here at LCF. I thank you for the various gifts and talents that you've given each one, and I pray that here at LCF that it could be an environment that would allow them to use their gifts to their fullest, that they would be fulfilled in that, and that ultimately you would receive the glory for it. Father, I ask for your divine blessing upon them, for your anointing of them as they preach your word, as they shepherd this flock. May you bless their efforts, and may we as a body of believers be a blessing to them as they are to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, you all can be seated except for the pastors, and you all can stay up here for just a moment. I want to thank each one of you who contributed generously to a gift that, again, Steve and Phyllis helped give leadership to. And so I'm going to give a card with something here to each one of these pastors. But before I do that, just want to mention what's contained therein so you all know that as well. We're giving them two nights at the Red, each of them separately. We're going to send our three pastors together. Actually, this is for the pastor and their spouse. Two nights at Red Maple Inn. It's a very nice bed and breakfast in Burton, Ohio. And $100 each for gas and food to get them there and enjoy their time. Also, this is compliments of Der Dutchman Restaurant, but they have a gift certificate for their husband and wife to go enjoy a meal there. And then there's also a coupon that they can apply for a pastor's retreat if they'd like to participate in that. So I'm going to give these cards and gifts to them.
Let's give them a hand.
You guys can sit down, sure. I do want to conclude our service. I guess one thought that was running through my mind is if we ever do this again, I'm definitely going to have to use a different sermon title, or that's going to give it away. But hope each of you pastors, wives, and children feel affirmed, and we really appreciate each one of you. I know you carry a great responsibility and task, and we just appreciate your willingness to do that. Want to conclude our service this morning with prayer, and specifically if there are any things that we need to be aware of you'd like us to pray together for in closing, want to give just a chance for you to mention that. So if there's anything you'd like us to pray for in closing, this is your chance. All right, well, I invite you to stand and join me as I lead us in prayer for these items, if I can remember them. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your goodness to us. And Lord, we thank you for leading the Zachariches to this doctor. And Lord, we just really join together in praying that the surgery on the 10th would be successful. And Lord, as Phyllis shared, we pray together that Betty Jo would be able to enjoy the taste of applesauce by Christmas time. God, we just know that you can bring healing, and we just together Continue to lift Betty Jo, Bob, the girls, to your throne and pray that you would sustain them and give them grace. Lord, we pray for Doris's uncle and family that they've lost a loved one. God, may you sustain them and give them your grace as well through this time. Lord, we also pray for the small group that Dan is going to be helping give you leadership to. Lord, may your blessing rest upon them. Lord, may they together be drawn to you as they look into your word and challenge one another. Lord, we pray for Kevin's surgery tomorrow. We pray that that would be go well. And Lord, we pray that you would just meet their needs in the coming days as they, as a family, the couple, try to figure out how to make things work and changing diapers and all the day-to-day things that they'll face. We just pray that you would be near to them and meet their needs. What was the other item? Somebody help me. Another item to pray about. Shannon, that's right. I forgot my wife. Let's pray for Shannon. God, as she has teacher conferences this week, parent-teacher conferences, Lord, just administer your grace to her and in those situations. And Lord, we pray for each one of us as we go through this week. Lord, I'm thinking of this song that was sung at the offertory. Lord, as we go through the week, may you soften our hearts, center our thoughts. Lord, each day, help us hear your voice. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Go in peace.